my wife's very crafty, makes little things and stuff. And she had made like, I don't even remember what it was for, maybe for a friend's baby shower or something. She had made like these little animals out of like craft paper. And she had them like, you know, and she glues the legs on and they're like almost accordion style. So they have little fun little legs and they're cute little things. And she's putting them on and she's doing it to, I think it was decorating for a party or something. And I'm like looking at them. I'm like holding this little crab that she made and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, we should sell these online. And my wife looked at me and she goes, I'm never making these again.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 33 of the Small Business BS podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. In today's episode, we're going to come up with a crazy topic name for this episode. We're going to talk about the evil mind of an entrepreneur. Jeff, can you explain what you're thinking? Because you came up with this crazy idea for this title and you've got some thought about the evil mind of an entrepreneur. Can you explain what you're thinking with this?
Full transparency. I literally came up with that mind because I wanted to hear you say it that way. Like I wanted to see how you do it. The evil mind of an entrepreneur. No, so we were talking a little bit about mindset and stuff, and this is another one of those episodes, folks, where we are leaning into the BS part of this title, and we're just kind of making this up as we go along. But I think it's important to remind everyone who is an entrepreneur, small business owner, that your mind's different, and that's kind of what I talk. It's kind of a in quotes evil mind, but I wrote about it years and years ago, back when my wife and I first got married, and we were in our kitchen in our new house at the time. And my wife's very crafty, makes little things and stuff. And she had made like, I don't even remember what it was for, maybe for a friend's baby shower or something. She had made like these little animals out of like craft paper. And she had them like, you know, and she glues the legs on and they're like almost accordion style. So they have little fun little legs and they're cute little things. And she's putting them on and she's doing it to, I think it was decorating for a party or something. And I'm like looking at them. I'm like holding this little crab that she made and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, we should sell these online. And my wife looked at me and she goes, I'm never making these again. Because she knew my mind, which was everything I see. I'm like, ooh, you should totally turn that into a business. Oh, you like doing nails? You should totally be a, you know, start your own thing. And that's just, and so that's where that kind of comes from, the evil mind is that I look at that. I'm like, that's why it's kind of evil, because like everything you see when you have that mindset, you can see how it could be turned into a business. And as I've learned more about myself and just reflect back, sometimes that comes from like, you know, the freedom that can come with it and the excitement and passion that comes with owning a small business and being an entrepreneur, that when you see someone else who has something that you think is marketable, you're like, you should totally do this too. And what I've realized over my 20 plus years of doing this stuff is that my mind is really different than a lot of people's. And you and I have had these conversations too. And I have these conversations all the time with our educators that are starting businesses and stuff too, of like, I'm like, look, like take this right way. Cause I mean, it's in a good way. Like you are not a normal educator. You are not a normal this, that, whatever your profession is. If you're thinking about this stuff, cause most people don't, and there's nothing wrong with people who don't, it's just a difference. Right. And so that's where the evil mind starts kind of comes from. But I think, Adam, where we want to go with this is like, yeah, that's one part of it. But like, there's so many ways in which our minds as entrepreneurs and as business owners and as creatives like are different, good and bad. And that kind of leads into like some of the things you need to have in your head or need to be aware of when it comes to your mind and the way that you think and this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Strengths and balances and harmony inside your head in order to survive the journey that you're on. Whether you're starting a side hustle right now or have a long-term business or get ready to go full time or whatever that might be. So that's kind of where that comes from. I don't know if any of that made sense, because my evil mind also goes a little scatterbrained sometimes.
No, it makes perfect sense. I think that the bottom line takeaway for me, and I don't know that this really is the BS side of things, Jeff. I disagree with you there a little bit, because I think what we're really talking about here is mindset. And the reality is entrepreneurs do think differently. We do think differently. You know, for me, myself, I ended up working in business kind of out of happenstance. I got into banking with a business degree, got an MBA, so, you know, Master of Business Administration. So in the business world, and what I found was I love business. I love the concepts, the strategies, just all of it, the marketing, but I was never content in a job. For me, I could always see ways to do things better. And it was frustrating for me being in a job where I was limited. And so it was just the way that I was wired. And so my mind was not, you know, it was evil in the sense of it was pushing me out of my job. It was making me essentially unemployable. I've heard entrepreneurs say that before, where our minds actually make us unemployable to some degree because we are really good at working for ourselves. And so it is somewhat of an evil mind, but in the early days, it's tough to know like what to do with that. And if you're working in a job, you've got to show up for your job. You've got to do well. You've got to perform in this job that you're just not content in, and your mind is elsewhere. And you might start doing a side hustle and you really don't have time to execute it. And you're not sure which direction to go. And as an entrepreneur, like you said, you see opportunities in everything. I mean, I've seen opportunities daily where it's like, oh, I could do a business there. Oh, I could help this guy there. He could do this there. And, you know, and so our minds are wired differently, but I think it's a huge benefit too, because 100%. when we can learn to focus and really take that evil mind, it becomes this beautiful mind that will help us move forward. It's almost like taking all of the gunpowder. If you have gunpowder that's not contained, you know, you can light gunpowder in a long line and nothing's going to explode, right? Mm-hmm. I see, you know, I'm not a pyrotechnic, so this is not the best illustration, but I imagine like a barrel of gunpowder, like trickled across the field. You light that and it's going to burn slowly and it's going to burn all over the place. But when you can take that mine and put it all in that barrel and put it in one place, you can focus it and have mm-hmm. this huge effect. And so I don't necessarily see it as an evil mind. It's a unique mind of the entrepreneur. And I guess the question takes us next maybe is, how do you harness that? What do you do with that if you're finding you have that mind of an entrepreneur? So what do you do with that, Jeff?
Yeah. So I love that you kind of went into like a beautiful mind, because like, I think also that, and again, I want to like the evil part, like it's in quotations, cause I don't actually think it's, I love the fact that this is how we think. And I love having conversations with people who think this way. And I think, you know, to your point, you talk about like when you're in your job and you're seeing these opportunities and stuff, I think it's because your mind is different. You tend to see opportunities where other people might see roadblocks or failures or challenges. You see an opportunity to go after and do something, an opportunity to fill a void or a gap for people or an industry or whatever it is, or in your life, right? And you have this urge to like create and build things and make things, and hopefully to help people or help society or contribute in that way, that just doing the traditional route just doesn't always offer. And I don't want to be really clear. No hate to anyone who does it. Like, that's just, you need to do what makes you happy. My thing is like, I think you hit on a spot when you said it's a beautiful mind, because that's what I think. It is like, it's such a unique thing to have this desire and this drive to want to create things and want to build things and mold things and see things come to life and like be willing to take the risk and put yourself out there. And I heard a quote from Justin Welsh. If you don't know Justin Welsh, he's brilliant. But he said, I pulled it up so I could say it the correct way. He said, a huge amount of success boils down to having a high tolerance for feeling stupid. And I think that's another part of this mind, is like you have this high tolerance for, one, for feeling stupid, for feeling embarrassed, for feeling like you failed, and then getting back up and doing it again and learning and growing from that. And I think that's where it becomes this beautiful mind of, if you can lean into that, you can get through things and you can pivot and you can eventually get to whatever it is that you're trying to chase, whatever it is that you're trying to build.
Yeah, that's great. I think of it sort of like, you know, it can be evil if we don't tame it. It's like a wild horse or wild stallion. You know, you have to break it, focus it and train it, and it can become the fastest racehorse on the planet. And so I think there's a lot of discipline that comes with that. So, you know, like you said, some people are not wired to be entrepreneurs, but other people are just not wired to work a job. It took me 20 years to figure out I was not wired to work a 9-to-5 job. I had to do that for my family. And I respect everybody who does that for their family, gets up day after day and grinds at a job that they just are not the best fit for. But for some of us, we just have this desire to do something else. And we want to do something else. And so how do we do that? I had a friend, it was actually my brother. I was talking to several years ago, and it started my side hustle, and I was getting ready to, determine the next step in my career and my journey. And my side hustle, I had the opportunity to stay with my job, or I had an opportunity to go out on my own. And my brother just really helped me through that process, saying, "Adam, you've got to bet on yourself. Nobody's going to bet on you." And it really, that hit home for me, Jeff, because when I got my master's degree in business, my dad got a promotion. He got a huge pay increase. He got a promotion in his job, and he ended up getting hired by somebody else all when he got his master's degree. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking the same thing too. I'd worked hard. I got done well in all my jobs, got promoted in almost every position I've ever had working for somebody else. But those promotions came with like one year of inflationary, you know, increase in pay. It wasn't a promotional pay increase. It was a, you know, inflationary pay increase, and, you know, really didn't even cover the expense of the degree. And so I found that working for somebody else just wasn't doing it for me, and nobody was going to bet on me but myself. And so I took that leap, and I was just, you know, I've never looked back. It's been amazing. Now I was very strategic in how I did that for my mindset, but I was able to really focus my mind and focus in on entrepreneurship.
You just touched on two things that I love that how you went through that, because the first part, I'm going to tell a similar story to your brother, but with my wife. And that's, I think a big piece is finding your team and your people. And when I say that, I don't mean team necessarily, like, cause you need to go out if you don't need employees, or I'm not talking necessarily employees or contractors or anything like that, but the team of people in your life that are going to help you have that belief and have that structure, and who are, maybe even if they don't actually understand your mind, are going to be understand you and be there for you. Like, similar story at the end of one of my, honestly, right now, Adam, I'm not sure what business it was that failed. And when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life at this point, this was years ago. And I got an opportunity offered through someone I know to go take a sales job. It's going to be okay. It's going to be decent pay. And talk to my wife. And I was like, okay, I can either do this, or I have this idea and I can bet on me and go here. And my wife said, "Let's bet on you." And not too many years later, we started Teach Better. That's the one piece, right? So find the people that love you and support you, and that maybe that's friends, families, whatever. That's a big piece. But then you touched it right at the end. I had already written it down. Strategic risk. I think this is a very common misconception. So I'm going to tell a quick story. When Chad and I made our first like decent sale with Teach Better, we had made a couple like really little sales. But our first sale of working with the district, we locked in. It was a 3-year plan. Now the district was only allowed to sign a 1-year deal, but like we were planning for 3 years, and it was just enough money where we were able to, like, Chad was gonna have to leave the classroom to do the work, but we were having enough money to pull him out. I was still working part time and side hustling with it, and we go in there and like we had to like go pitch. We had to present to all the teachers, and we had to get 20% of them to say buy in to get like a pirate group. But we had way more, like they were all in. And so we're like signing, like we're there, and like she's like signing the papers, and I'm like, okay, so we're agreeing, like you read the number, you're gonna pay us that, right? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, good. Cause Chad's supposed to be back in the classroom in like 10 days. And it was like literally, it was like 8 or 9 days he was supposed to be in the classroom. Anyway, so he goes through the whole thing. Chad was actually able to help out at school. He didn't leave him high and dry. He found someone to replace him there, and everything's good. His principal's like, "We love you. Go do your thing." Like, everything's good. And he calls me. He's like, "All right, dude, I did it. I'm good. Let's go." And I'm like, "All right, dude, we got 6 months till we run out of money." And he's like, "I'm sorry, what?" I'm like, "We have 6 months until we run out of money. So we got to sell some more stuff." He goes, "6 months?" I said, "Yeah, we got 4 months, dude." He's like, whoa, you just said 6 months. And I'm like, "I know." 3 months, dude. That's what we got. We got in a car from that when they signed that paper, and we get in a car, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, dude, wait till we get out on the road. Cause he's like ready to freak out. I'm like, wait till we get out on the road and they can't see us. And we forgot cause we hadn't done it before, but we just sold a nice contract. And when I tell that story, that's the fun way to tell that story. Cause it's kind of it's funny, da da da, like that. And truth is we hadn't done it before, but we had literally decades and decades of case studies and research that backed how we were going to do it and show that it was best practices. We had mapped it out a million times and iterated on like, okay, if we ever get, like for months of like, what if we get this? And we had never, you know, like, well, how are we going to do this? Now, did we still have to figure it out as we went? Yes. But so it was this risk of him leaving the classroom. When I tell the story the way I normally do, it's kind of fun. It's a better cocktail story, you know, at a party, whatever. But the reality was like, yeah, we took risks. That was a big risk for him, obviously. But it was calculated. It was strategic. We had a plan. We knew what we were doing. We hadn't done it yet, so we didn't necessarily prove it yet. But we were just going in blind. And I think that's an important part when you talk about how do you harness this thing. Well, we tend to be, as entrepreneurs, risk takers. We're able to take more risks. That's a key piece. You have to be willing to be, and you have to be able to handle that. But you need to be able to be calculated. You need to be able to be strategic. You need to plan. You need to make at least good decisions with the best you can. And I think that's a big piece of sort of handling it. I think too often we see people just get pumped and run with an idea, but they don't think about it at all. They don't strategize at all. They don't do what you did, Adam. You spent quite a few years of like proving the concept of your business again and again and again and again and again before jumping ship and going full time. Now I jumped a lot quicker, but that's the evil part. So I think a big piece of harness in this is really being self-aware with what types of risk you actually should be taking. Just because you're willing to and you have the tolerance doesn't mean that it's necessarily the right way or the right time. And I think that's hard to do, but really important to do.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that story too about you and Chad. I've heard it from the cocktail perspective before, but it's
to be clear, it was like 3.5 months. That's actually what it actually was. Right. But about 2.5 months later, we made another big sale and then we were off to races. So it's, don't tell Chad. I think he still thinks that it might've been 6 at the time, but
you had to give him 6 or he would have freaked out.
10 years later. I don't need him yelling at me now. Like,
that's great. That's great. Yeah, no, that's really good. And I think about, you know, people listen to this too, Jeff, you know, so there's probably somebody sitting there who's on the cusp of maybe a side hustle or wanting to go out on their own. And maybe we want to do a different episode on this, you know, when is the time to jump? But, you know, I think before we do that, well, we can conclude this with maybe thinking about, you know, what are some things that somebody can do to help with their mindset, to help get them focused and in the right space to make that jump? Not when will they make the jump, but what can they do to in their mindset? What do you think, Jeff?
I think a big piece, and this is going to sound cliche or boring, whatever, is learn. Do some studying. Go look at how quote unquote traditional businesses plan and strategize and position themselves. I'm not telling you that you have to lay out a traditional business plan and all that type of stuff, but like take the time to like look at what they consider and what they look at to make sure that what you're thinking about doing does make sense and that the risk you're about to take, whether that's financial, emotional, et cetera, all rolled in, is actually a smart decision and you actually do have the tolerance for it. I think, yeah, I think that's the biggest one. I mean, talk to other folks. One of the things I did early on when I first started getting it was talking to people that had businesses and entrepreneurs. My dad was, you know, successful in sales and in management and stuff, but he was, you know, always, you know, he worked for a big company. But he had people that he knew that I was able to connect with, and then people that I met through network and stuff that I was able to talk to and talk about and try to learn from the mistakes they made and what they thought about stuff. And that was super impactful for me when I started my first business it was 20. So like having conversations with guys that were 40 and 50 that were like, oh, I've done this 6 times, kid, let me help you out. Like, I think just researching and really figuring out like, is it just my excitement or do I really have the stamina and the tolerance for what I'm about to do?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot.
That's great. I love that because I think part of the evil mind of the entrepreneur is that we want to create everything from scratch. You know, that's something I've seen a lot of people fall into a trap. over the years is it's very easy to want to start everything from scratch, but there's no point to reinventing the wheel. Like you said, if there's best practices out there, there's proven methods and proven ways that people do things. And I think that that's really great advice, Jeff, on just, you know, talking to people, getting the head start of saying, look, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. What I have to do is figure out how to make money and make this business work. So if I need to get online, I don't have to do it the hard way. I can do it the easy way. Or if I need a payment system, I don't have to do it the hard way. I can do it the easy way. Let's figure out what those easy ways are. Don't reinvent the wheel and, you know, rein in that evil mind of the entrepreneur and figure out how to find efficiencies in learning from other people's mistakes. That's really great advice. Yeah.
By the way, we talked, I'm trying to look like way back in episodes. When was it? Like, we did it early on. Episodes like, I'll have to look back and find. But we did episodes on your business strategy and your business, your business plan and things of that nature as well, and the business model. So like we've talked about it here on this podcast as well. So yeah, get out, learn, ask questions, make sure it's the right move for you so that you can take that risk with some calculation.
Yep. Yep. So, well, very good. So,
and then with all that said, go do it, man. Come on. You got this.
Exactly. You got it. This was a bit more of a BS episode, Jeff. I'm glad
but
you
it's,
said it.
You know, it's, I look at BS and I think that's
business
better stuff.
Strategy.
Better stuff, Adam.
Business
better
strategy.
Stuff. Business strategy. I actually love this because I feel like this is like stuff that just us just having conversations, I think sometimes is really powerful because when that's the stuff that I've learned how to do things from. It's just people, listen to people who have done similar or roundabout close to what I was trying to do, just talk about it. And so I'm all for these types of episodes, man.
That's great. That's great.
And with that said, we're going to go into a 17-part series from here on out. It's going to be
yeah,
great.
No, I veto that one. So,
All right. Well, take us out of here.
All right. That's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business one step at a time.